daily for Anti Friday. And oh my God, get ready. Monday the 13th. Da-da-da. But if you need a little bit of happier news, don't forget, the Orville did get renewed for season 3.
Yay!
There it is. Hi there. Welcome to the aforementioned 13th of May. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and, you know, and for being way overblown and no one has any idea why anybody listens to what, well, me anyway at all. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the lady ready to face another week at work. And there's a flinstress.
This is the single worst day of my entire life.
It's going to be okay. You just got to be strong, that's all. Hi, I'm the guy that's greeted warmly everywhere he goes. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Stop! Please, just stop talking!
Okay, that's totally fair. What happened this fine day? Yeah?
We'll stop talking after the podcast.
Okay, sure.
In 1637, the table knife is invented by Cardinal Richelieu in France. People used to just use their daggers to cut their meat and, you know, pick their teeth and whatever. He was the first person to give people dinner knives so that they wouldn't have to do that and they wouldn't have to, like, dull their daggers that they use for personal defense.
Nice. 1821, Samuel Rust of New York City patents the Washington Press, the first practical and successful printing press to be built in America, and it was never widely adopted.
In 1880, Thomas Edison performs the first test of his electric railway in Menlo Park, New Jersey.
1890, Nikola Tesla is issued a patent for an electric generator that worked much better than anything Edison ever thought of.
In 1939, the first commercial FM radio station in the U.S. is launched in Bloomfield, Connecticut. It becomes WDRC-FM.
1940, Igor Sikorsky undertakes the first free flight of his new Valt Sikorsky VS-300 helicopter, the world's first fully functional helicopter. It's the first to feature a tail rotor.
That was what they needed all along.
Don't forget that, trivia players.
In 1980, Bally released the pinball game Flash Gordon. This is the first split-level pinball machine from Bally. It's also the first machine to use the Squawk and Talk soundboard that would become the signature of pinball machines in the 80s, and it was only the second publicly distributed Bally machine to feature speech.
1994, Johnny Carson makes his last television appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman.
In 1999, Namco Home Tech announces the debut of Pac-Man World 20th Anniversary.
2002, Nintendo announces it will begin selling a network adapter for the GameCube in the fall, as well as a dial-up modem.
Wow. You can still remember the sound that that made. 2003, Sony introduced the iToy accessory for PlayStation 2. It's a camera that connects to the game system via USB port.
It had some fun moments. 2005, the final episode of Star Trek Enterprise.
It's the final episode.
These are the Voyage's first airs. In it, Commander Riker of Star Trek The Next Generation uses a holodeck recreation of Archer's Enterprise to observe the events leading up to the formal formation of the Federation in the hope it will help him make a decision in the Next Generation episode, The Pegasus. That's right, your series finale is a subnote in a show that was canceled years ago.
Wow.
Birthdays?
Debbie Ryan is 26. She's Bailey on The Suite Life on Deck and Muppets Most Wanted, Los Misterios del Laura.
Hunter Parrish is 32. That's Silas on Weeds, Batman the Brave and the Bold. He was Kid Flash there and The Good Wife.
Robert Pattinson is 33. Cedric Diggory from The Goblet of Fire, Water for Elephants, Queen of the Desert, and oh yeah, Sparkly Vampire.
Nothing else. Lena Dunham is 33 from Girls and This is 40 and was amazing in that one episode of American Horror Story.
Brian Thomas Smith is 42. Zach on The Big Bang Theory.
Christopher Ralph is 42. Tobias on Animorphs.
Samantha Morton is 42. Minority Report, John Carter, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Neil Hopkins is 42. Charlie's brother Liam on Lost and, of course, True Blood.
Brian Garrity is 44 from The Hurt Locker and Boardwalk Empire.
Stephen Colbert is 55 years of age. Phil Ken Sebbett on Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Chuck on Strangers with Candy, Monsters vs. Aliens. Oh, yeah, he had a show or two.
Yeah. Frances Barber, 61. Madame Kavorian on Doctor Who.
Zoe Wanamaker is 70 from The Sorcerer's Stone. Elektra, the 2005 Perrault series as well.
Franklin Ajay is 70. Stand-up genius, appeared in Car Wash, Stir Crazy the Burbs, and Hollywood Shuffle.
Marv Wolfman is 73, writer of the new Teen Titans, creator of Blade, the writer of Crisis on Infinite Earths. If you own comics, you own something by him.
Sam Anderson is 74, Mr. Gorpley on Perfect Strangers, and Nadler on Lost, and Holland on Angel.
Harvey Keitel is 80 years of age from Saturn III, Bad Lieutenant, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, 17 other things I can't think of off the top of my head.
Right. Zora Lampert is 82 from Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
Sure. No longer with us, born this date in 1914, Joe Louis, an American boxer, wrestler, and actor.
Born in 1922, B. Arthur from Maude, Golden Girls, and the Cantina Owner in the Holiday Special.
Indeed. 1937, Rogers Zilzany, the author of The Chronicles of Amber, the Corrin series, and the Merlin series.
Born in 1937, Trevor Bayliss, English inventor best known for the wind-up radio.
1946, Tim Pidgett Smith from the 1981 version of Clash of the Titans, V for Vendetta, and of course, Quantum of Solace.
Well, on TV tonight on CBS, we get a rerun of The Big Bang Theory. Take that, two reruns of The Big Bang Theory. But then Abe and Harper investigate a suspect who has been trying to spread violence by convincing civilians to confront Marines while posing as soldiers on the code. Oh, and a new bull.
ABC has 2 hours of The Bachelorette and The Fix.
Oh, and we see the top eight semifinals perform on the new The Voice and The Enemy Within.
On Fox, a new 911, and then the roommates begin to test the boundaries of their relationships as they continue to become better acquainted with one another on a new Paradise Hotel.
On the CW, we get a new Legends of Tomorrow, and the turmoil between Oliver and Amico brings a new level of drama, and some familiar faces come back to threaten others on a new Arrow.
Freeform is showing the original and best Pitch Perfect.
On AMC, we get Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
Don't forget, Bond's in that movie. E! Entertainment Television has Welcome to Jurassic Schnoz on a rerun of Botched.
Wow. On FX, they're showing The Martian.
They're showing that a lot lately.
I like that movie.
It's good. FXX, The Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror, XXI, How Munched Is That Birdie in the Window, and Donnie Fatso.
FXM has X-Men Days of Future Past.
BBC America has the I Never Really Cared for Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, it was just kind of off. Yeah. I don't know. Sundance is showing Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Sci-Fi Channel, it's Scorpion King and Doom. Get Dwayne Johnson's Not That Good double feature.
No. On TBS, Jeff wins a contest and gets to go on a tour through a mysterious marijuana factory. And he brings Stan along with him on the tour, of course, on a new American Dad.
Stan would love that the most. TNT has shown Transformers.
Beep, boop, beep, boop. That's not their noise. That was R2-D2.
That's true.
On Science, we get a new How the Universe Works.
But we're going to be watching the Independent Film Channel because a student filmmaker takes a cast and crew into the woods to shoot an amateur fright flick, and zombies show up, and they got to fight for their lives while documenting the unfolding events. Michelle Morgan and Joshua Close star in Diary of the Dead.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby learns that Chad is cheating on her, but can't find it in her heart to leave him. Stefan tells Abby, hey, you can't be the model for the company's clothes no more. She's got to pick a new model. Then reporters take out Abby's attire, trying to get a scoop on the whole Rocky romance thing. Then Abby won't take Hope and Rafe's advice to get even with Chad by having some affairs of her own. Instead, she sets up a fake romantic dinner photo op to show they're still happily married. Then finds out Chad slept with the model that she picked. She always knew he was a lover boy. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
But of course we do. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Flynn, I just wanted to share Courtney's performance at her elementary school talent show last Thursday. Here's a link to the video on Instagram and Twitter, which of course you'll find in the show's over at geekradiodata.com. She had without a doubt the geekiest talent of the night and the biggest reaction of all the performances. It's just a proud dad moment that I wanted to share with my extended
aww,
geeky family.
Thanks.
It's the kind of talent that would appeal to the type of people who listen to Geek Radio Daily. Thank you so much.
I gotta go check it out.
For entertaining and informing me of the latest news and events on my drive to work every day. It's the best way to start a day. Keep it up. That's from Mark. Oh, well, Mark, thank you. Oh, well, of course. Again, follow the show and see what Courtney did. You're really going to like it. Hi, geeks. Listening at work, so I have to be very brief. Are you saying the Fifth Doctor has been regularly appearing on Match Game? What channel, day and time? Let's stop there. No, I'm saying that once at Mysticon, I was on Match Game and to my left sat Larry Elmore and to my right sat Peter Davison, who at one point in time looked at me and went, are we really supposed to be trying to figure out what people would say? And I went, nah, I just want you to make things up and be silly. Oh, I can do that. Oh my God, I was just chilling. Okay, and twice I missed the name of the game about Outcast saving the universe. When you mentioned the system availability at the end, I've already missed it because it's hardly ever for PC and I just focus on work, which I have to get back to doing now. Thanks for keeping me going, and that's from Bill. Well, Bill, you're welcome. And I don't even remember what that game was in the first place, but if anyone else knows, by all means, or if you know where Chad and Abby are this week, because last week they were on the show Suits.
Oh, yeah. Diamond's Club.
Right? See, I thought it was clever. Anyway, drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course, you can always send a voicemail too.
And no one's left a voicemail in a while.
I know, right?
510-GRD-CREW.
Don't make her get mad at you. You wouldn't like her when she gets mad at you.
Great coffee.
Hey. Chad, who's that strange, somber man on the cover of that book you're reading?
Oh, That's H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, I've heard of him, but I never really got into his stuff. It's kind of strange and hard to read.
No, I used to think that too, but that all changed when I started listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast.
What's that?
The H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast is a weekly podcast.
Tell me more.
Well, these two really smart and hilarious guys give a synopsis of the story, then they talk about its background, the critical views, and what it says about the author.
Well, where can I listen?
Let me tell you, Chris, you can go to hppodcraft.com or, heck, just subscribe through iTunes. It's that easy.
Oh, Chad, I'm so excited. Now I can listen to this podcast and pretend to all my snooty friends that I actually read and understand H.P. Lovecraft.
Hey, that's what I do.
Oh, dear.
This is Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood, and this is Geek Radio Daily.
And it's a good way to start out another week, isn't it?
It is.
Indeed. Let's see what happens today, Joe. Well, I think I know where we're heading, but what was it?
This week's 10, last week's 5, Captain Marvel made another $1.8 million. It's made almost 424 just U.S. in 10 weeks.
This week's 9 is new. It's Tolkien. Find out how exactly he wrote the stories. $2.1 million.
I'll see this at some point. This week's 8, last week's 6, Breakthrough, broke $2 million, 2.4. It's made over 37 in 4 weeks.
This week's 7 was last week's 4, Ugly Dolls, another $3.9 million. It's $14 million in 2 weeks and a $45 million budget. I don't care what your cast is like. It's not getting its money back.
This week's 6 was new, Palms. Made $5 million.
About that silly drink that no one ever did. This week's 5, last week's 3, Long Shot. $6.1 million, 19.7 in 2 weeks.
This week's 4, last week's 2, The Intruder, 2019's version, made $6.6 million. It's made almost $21 million in 2 weeks.
This week's 3 is new, The Hustle. $13.5 million on an undisclosed budget.
This week's 2, new, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, made $58 million on a $150 million budget. Did you say it was the best video game opening weekend of all time?
The number one movie in America is still Avengers Endgame, making another $63 million. It has made, oh my God, wait for it, $723 million on a $356 million budget.
Damn.
After 3 weeks. Oh yeah, if you owned even half a percentage point of that right now, you're incredibly happy.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek news.
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So, like, for a couple of years now, movies for both Rocco's Modern Life and Invader Zim have been sitting on a shelf with Nickelodeon having no real interest in releasing them at all.
So why even bother making them?
You gotta do what you gotta do to hold onto those rights. Which makes the next part of this a little weird. Nickelodeon announced that it sold the two new TV movies reliving both kids' shows to Netflix.
You didn't need a visual to hear those air quotes, people.
I mean, look, come on. We all know the shows were always made for adults and kids just happened to like them, even though they are rather, as I believe Socrates said, effed up. Both projects, the Rocco revival movie Static Cling and Zim follow-up Enter the Florpus, have been previously talked about and previewed, but now they've been sold off to Netflix for actual distribution.
Well, they need something since they're losing Disney Marvel. Or is it Marvel Disney? Misney? Darvel?
Viacom CEO Bob Barkish confirmed that both movies will now indeed head to Netflix, both films written and directed by the series' respective creators, Joe Murray and Jonathan Vasquez, and will feature appearances from the majority of the original voice cast. The Rocco movie appears to be a satire based on, wait for it, Modern Life,
because
kids got these crazy phones and these energy drinks they won't put down. And Zim of this time has actually been robbed of his unshakable and unearned self-confidence. No word on a release date, but it's actually going to happen. So maybe one day Nickelodeon will realize they've made a mistake keeping these in a vault, because Rocco and Zim will be all right. They've been run over by a car, made to drag around a Gip shopping cart, threatened by Gestapo security guards, had their head set on fire, attacked by wild lobsters, beaten by a very large woman, had their dog wrapped in plastic, nearly starved to death, and if you think they won't be ready, well, they've prepared for this moment, and it has paid off in full. In case you haven't noticed, they've been trying to go home, and if you do not let them, they will do something not nice!
Oh, not prepared for that.
No one ever is.
But you know what? Kind of interesting news is next one. Microsoft will soon preview a version of Word that will use artificial intelligence to make your writing not just grammatically correct, but politically correct as well.
Great. Like, anyone needs work memos to be any longer.
Well, now, Microsoft doesn't call it political correctness check, but let's be honest, that's exactly what it is. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because, I mean, this will actually probably have some positive stuff.
So then all this time, Word has been politically incorrect? Did anyone tell Bill Maher about this?
He's too busy smirking outside of a church. Microsoft calls it Ideas in Word, which refers to a series of AI-driven features that help you format your document and write better. For instance, Word will decode acronyms for you, tell you how long it'll take to read a given document. It'll also underline words or phrases that sound insensitive and suggest corrections.
I want to know what it suggests for Smegan.
I'm not sure if it'll know that one. But let's say you write something like, let's get some fresh blood in here. The AI is going to underline fresh blood and suggest new employees instead. You know, it might point out things like gender bias. If you always say mailman or congressman, it might say male person or congressperson. If you use the term like gentleman's agreement, it may suggest instead you use unspoken agreement instead.
I like that. It sounds kind of dangerous.
If you describe someone as a disabled person, they might suggest person with a disability because it's person first terminology, and that's preferred because it portrays the person as more important than the disability. This inclusiveness checks are part of a larger group of Refine My Writing tools that also include clarity, conciseness, punctuation, and sensitive geopolitical terms. For the last one, the AI's models look for phrases that may be hard to understand by or that might be offensive to someone in another culture or country, Microsoft says.
I remember when spell check was just flipping amazing.
Right? Well, for the various new checks, Microsoft assembled a team of linguists, cunning linguists, if you will, and other experts to anticipate the poor word choices that people might make and assemble lists of terms that would work better. Office Intelligence product manager says, the AI's training data also includes Wikipedia pages, which are constantly being updated and corrected. You can, of course, turn off the grammar and PC checks.
Not if you work for the man. Oh, sorry. The person.
Microsoft says it'll begin offering a preview of Ideas in Word in June. With any luck, soon Word can, you know, write things for us based off a few ideas. Then maybe these stories will get some real jokes.
Be not. Tim Woods has accomplished something most of us can only dream about.
Being a neurosurgeon, a physicist, a test pilot, and a rock star?
No, that would just be awesome. No, he mentors others effectively, and most importantly, he knows the hit points of a necromancer lord.
Well, anyone worthwhile does.
Woods is a professional game master, and on average, he's paid about $100 an hour to run D&D games.
You missed your calling.
Always do. The Brooklyn-based freelancer said people hire him because they want to play D&D, but they don't know where to start. He spends at least 2 hours preparing for every 3-hour session, as one should, and provides players with dice, miniatures, and maps. He describes D&D as a game where players use their imagination to cooperatively tell a story together. The role-playing games format seems to be the reason why it's more popular than it's been ever before, even with all of its fantasy-heavy elements.
Thanks, Game of Thrones.
True. Although much of his work comes from school-run programs, about 50% of his customers are adults, and
who watch Game of Thrones.
The majority do not fit into the stereotypes of a Dungeons & Dragons player, which we've been telling the world for decades because everyone's a geek.
One of us. One of us.
And if you doubt that you belong, you can always prove it to us. You ready?
Okay. Give me your all.
Natural 20. Sad news, Pua Magasiva, a Samoan who starred in television shows like Shortland Street in New Zealand and The Other Side of Heaven and 30 Days of Night, is best known as Shane Clark, the Ninja Storm Red Ranger. He's passed away at age 38. He played the Red Ranger in the 2003 season, the first to be shot in New Zealand. He was the first and so far only Samoan Red Ranger. No cause of death has presently been revealed for the actor, though the police say that there were no suspicious circumstances surrounding the death. On Twitter, Power Ranger fans are professing their appreciation for the actor and mourning his untimely loss. For fans, he will be missed.
And because it's Monday the 13th and they're really, really bad, we have another one to tell you about. Actress Peggy Lipton, known for the Mod Squad and Twin Peaks, has passed away at age 72, reportedly suffering from colon cancer. She was previously married to composer and record producer Quincy Jones, which makes her the mother of Rashida Jones.
Mm.
Who knew that? Born in New York in 46, she began her acting career in 65 in Bewitched and The Magical World of Disney, among many other shows, and she shot to fame in Mod Squad, playing Julie Barnes from 68 to 73. During that time, she was nominated for 4 Golden Globe Awards and won in 71. In 89, she joined the Twin Peaks cast as Norma Jennings. She's been in The Postman, When in Rome, recently A Dog's Purpose, and a guest spot on Claws. She is survived by her 2 daughters, and somewhere, Hank is inconsolable, so here's to you, Peggy. We are definitely going to miss you, and damn that apple pie. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And yeah, if you can help build out with that video game, if you know where Chad and Abby are this week, if you want to get in the running for a prize, and yes, Surreal, I swear to God, I thought I'd emailed it this weekend. I'm going to the post office today. I swear to you, it's happening. It's going to be. Drop us a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always send a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD-CREW.
And we'll see you at a different time.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
What the hell are you still doing here?
Good night, suckers.
I think we need better packaging. We need a better way to show off our product.
Now, Jimmy, this looks to be a pretty domesticated house. That would lead me to believe that in the garage, you're under the sink, you got a bunch of cleaners and cleansers and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Wolf, under the sink.
Good. What I need you two fellas to do is take those cleaning products and clean the inside of the car. I'm talking fast, fast, fast. Wipe down the upholstery. Now, when it comes to upholstery, it don't need to be spick and span. You don't need to eat off it. Just give it a good once-over. Now, Jimmy, we need to raid your linen closet. I need blankets, I need comforters, I need quilts, I need bedspreads. The thicker the better, the darker the better. No whites. Can't use them. We need to camouflage the interior of the car. We're going to line the front seat and the back seat and the floorboards with quilts and blankets. So if a cop stops us and starts sticking his big snout in the car, the subterfuge won't last. But at a glance, the car will appear to be normal. Jimmy, lead the way. Boys, get to work.
Please would be nice.
Come again?
I said a please would be nice.
Get it straight, Buster. I'm not here to say please. I'm here to tell you what to do. And if self-preservation is an instinct you possess, you better f***ing do it and do it quick. I'm here to help. If my help's not appreciated, lots of luck, gentlemen.
No, 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 Mr. Wolf. It ain't like that. Your help is definitely appreciated.
Mr. Wolf, listen. I don't mean disrespect, okay? I respect you. I just don't like people barking orders at me. That's all.
If I'm curt with you, it's because time is a factor. I think fast, I talk fast, and I need you guys to act fast if you want to get out of this. So, pretty please, with sugar on top, clean the fucking car.